Welcome to 216, a link to the past randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. I have an excellent show for you today. It's been a few minutes. I was able to record like four right out the gate, and then it took us a while to get back into the swing of things because I didn't tell anyone it was coming back. So Leo and I had to get our ducks in a row to get everything edited. And then we also added the JK LOL episodes. So we've been putting stuff out. But I recorded those four episodes a while ago. And then I didn't want to overwhelm Leo either. So I didn't schedule any other episodes with anyone else except for JMO. I knew I wanted to talk to JMO. So that's who's on the show today. My league teammate, the new Gamma, I guess, the one who's carrying Beer and I. You know, Beer's been doing some carrying as well. This was a really fun episode, especially because I didn't know a lot about JMO. We'd been playing for a couple months, but when we teamed up, I just went on the word of Gamma and Beer, and turned out really well. As someone who's newer to the community, it's fun to get his perspective and hear his story and hopefully enjoy it. We had a really good time talking, and I think you'll like it. Couple of house cleaning things. 216pod.com finally works. I actually had to transfer the domain to a different host. I was using Google Domains originally, and then Google Domains got bought out by Squarespace. And for some reason, forwarding that to my new RSS page, the new host of 216, was causing a ton of errors, and I couldn't get it to work. So screw Squarespace. I know they're advertising on like every podcast, but they really screwed us over. But I'm on a new host for the domain, one where I host all my other websites, and it's working. So 216pod.com will take you to the RSS page, which has our show. I can finally say that in confidence. Make sure you join our Discord. Would really love to hear everyone's feedback on this episode because it's been a minute since the last one with Ikear. Especially with me recording them. I spend like 2 months almost in between me recording these episodes. Would love to hear what you think about the show, thoughts on our guest today and any of the conversation that we have. You can post that over in our Discord, so make sure you join there. Again, always looking for reviews and ratings on Apple Podcasts especially. And Spotify, if you could do it. I think it's pretty easy. You just got to click the star rating thing under our page. And just helps get the show out. Makes us a little bit more visible. That would be cool. Really appreciate that if you could do that. Lost a couple other reviews that we had. So if you could review the show too, that'd be great. Really appreciate it. League is about to end, at least the regular season. We are on week number 7 here, which is the co-op itemizer. Not a lot of races early on in the week. It looks like everyone's kind of holding it to the weekend. My race is on Friday the 4th with Beer, and then GMO and Beer will be racing on Sunday, the last day of the regular season. Division is all wonky. We have clinched a playoff spot. We're 8-4. So we could finish at best 10-4 and at worst 8-6, which would get us a playoff spot. Crystal Roller Crew has a game up on us. They've played already game number 1, and they were able to pull the victory out there against 2 Pearl, 2 Fieras. So they're up a game 9-4. They've clinched a playoff spot. Don't forget to track us. 2-0'd us in Door Week. They're currently 8-4. We're playing TM32 God Route, who's 7-5, trying to get a playoff spot as well. So they're going to be looking to get some wins off of us to make the playoffs. And then the Pugs are playing Used Bow, which is going to be really tough. And they need those wins to try to help them make the playoffs. And technically, you look like you could use a Hook and Lamp is still alive if everyone else kind of loses out. With TM32 God Route being 7-5 and the Pugs being 6-6, if both of those teams lose, I don't know what their strength of victory would be or the tiebreakers would be between you look like you could use a Hook and Lamp and TM32 God Route for that last spot. Let me see if they played. They've had to play each other. Okay, and they lost. So it looks like they're out because I think at best they're 7-7 And if TM32 God Route loses both, they'll be 7-7. They have the tiebreaker there. So yeah, it looks like that last spot's between TM32 God Route and the Pugs. So a win against us, I think, locks TM32 God Route's playoff spot. And Pugs have got, they got to play Used Bow, and that's going to be tough. No matter how good they are, that's the best team in the league for sure. They are currently 12-0 and the only undefeated team in the Invitational. I've had a blast. You know, I complained and I bitched a lot about the modes, and nothing has changed about that. Still not happy about the modes. But the league is just so much fun. I've had so much fun, especially when you have a good team. And GM and I get along really well. Beer and I get along really, really, really well. In fact, going to go meet Beer in Seattle with a bunch of Seattle crew here tomorrow, Wednesday. And I don't know, maybe I'll record something with that. So going to meet some people that have been on the show. I've met Beer. We met in San Diego last year, and of course met at SGL too. So good people. Anyways, had a blast this season, and really looking forward to the playoffs where it's all co-op. And, you know, Yamo and I actually talk a lot about co-op in our conversation. So let's actually just get to it. Great conversation with Yamo coming up. Here it is. Here's Yamo. Okay, so when you and Beer got together for this season of the league, had you had interactions with Beer? Like, how did... It's funny because we've been playing for a few months now, and I don't really know the story, but how did you and Beer get together?
Yeah, it is kind of funny because, I had never talked to Beer before. I didn't really know too many people, but yeah, when the league started up, like, I wasn't sure if I would have a team or not, because mostly I like played some co-op with Gamma so far, but like not really anybody else. Mm-hmm. And Gamma wasn't interested in it this time because of the modes. But yeah, I think actually Beer was like looking for a team and he was talking to Gamma. And then I think Gamma told him like that I might be interested, right? So then, yeah, me and Beer started talking and like played a couple co-ops together and we had fun with it. So then we were like, yeah, let's do it and see if we can find a third. And then, I guess Beer reached out to you and got you to join. So
that's incorrect, yeah. Actually.
Why? What happened?
Gamma reached out to me.
Gamma orchestrated this entire team, basically.
Yeah. So Gamma was like, hey, are you're still looking for a team? Like, not really. Like, I wasn't really looking for a team. To be honest, nobody's ever really asked me to be on their team.
just forced your way in.
Well, I created the league, so I always had something. And it's been Gamma and I since season two. So I never really had to look for a team, and no one really ever asked me. So Gamma put us together. That's funny. So you didn't really know Beer. You just got put together.
Yeah, I mean, I knew of him, obviously, but yeah, I hadn't talked to him.
Yeah. The three off the tee name then, was that, did you guys talked and realized you're both into golf or something? Because that was... like one of the things, like when Beer did message me after Gamma, I guess they were talking. He's like, we already got a team name. It's three off the tee. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but okay. That doesn't really matter.
Yeah. That was like, I think the first co-op we were playing, we were talking about like team name and whatever. And I think I knew somehow, I don't remember how, but I know I'd seen Beer mention about golf before or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I also play golf pretty regularly. Like, once a week or once every other week. So I was talking about it a little bit and I was like, yeah, that would be a funny team name if we make it something related to being bad at golf. Cause sure. It's kind of funny and interesting, but yeah, I mean, it doesn't quite fit since you don't play golf at all, but like, it's fine.
Yeah. I didn't.
So you're still bad at golf. If you haven't played golf,
totally so bad at golf.
You still, you still fit in with us.
For sure. Okay. So what's cool about this, again, you and I have been chatting quite a bit because we've done a lot of co-op together in the last couple months, but I don't totally know a lot about you. I know you're originally from Canada, right? Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. Where, like Eastern, Western Canada?
Yeah. Like Toronto area is where
I
grew up. Yeah.
And but, was gaming a part of your life growing up?
Yeah. Yeah. I was always pretty into games. Like, I guess my first console was like a hand-me-down PS1 or something. Like, for a while, my parents didn't buy me any consoles or anything, but Yeah, eventually, you know, got the PS1, got a Wii or something. Yeah. But even like PC games, I was always really into games, or playing games at friends' houses. I was always really into it. Yeah.
So PS1, how old are you when that comes out?
When did the PS1 come out? I don't know.
It's like gotta be like mid-90s, right?
Yeah, so I was probably like zero. it was a hand-me-down. Okay, actually, yeah, it's 1994, so that's the year I was born. So it's shortly after I was born.
Oh my gosh, you just made me feel really old.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I'm over 30, but maybe I'm young compared to a lot of people in this community.
Well, especially with Link to the Past, right? Like, if you're born in 94, that means...
It was not a childhood game for me like it was for many people. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was like a hand-me-down. It was like my uncle's old PS1. That was
okay. So it wasn't even new at the time. You're playing it after.
It was definitely like, I don't know how old I was, probably at least 10 years old or something.
Sure. So if the PS1 was your first game, did you have other experience with games like at your friends' houses, or were you playing on a computer or anything like that? Like you said, gaming was important when you were growing up, but it doesn't sound like you're actually playing that much.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of forgot, honestly. Like, I had like a lot of PC games, I guess, like, you know, games on disc.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I was always excited to go to friends' houses and play games there. Yeah. I didn't have a console at first. I think I also had like a Game Boy Color. Like my friend, it was after my friend got a Game Boy Advance. He sold me his Game Boy Color for like $2. So nice. That was pretty exciting for me. But I guess it was at least one generation old. But
that's funny. Yeah. So you weren't, again, maybe this is different where you grew up, but you weren't like, I got to have the latest and the greatest or the newest consoles or whatever. It was just kind of whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was whatever my parents would buy me at the time, right? But maybe they were right not to give me a console because, you know, I played way too much games as soon as I got access to them. But,
sure.
But yeah, I think the Wii was like the first console that we really got, like when it was new.
Mm-hmm. Siblings? Do you have any siblings?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a brother and a sister as well. Younger brother older, and sister.
Older, younger?
I'm the oldest.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But so yeah, we played tons of Wii together.
That sounds about right. Like the Wii is such a like family console, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even like, grandparents can play it, sort of thing.
Yeah, and it was crazy when it released, right? Like you probably experienced it too. I know, I think it was our birthdays or Christmas or something where my dad got it for us, but I know he had to like, you know, go line up at 5 a.m. mm-hmm. for it or something, even though it was like months after it came out. Like,
yeah,
it was just ridiculous, the demand on that thing.
It was super popular, again, because it was something new with the motion controls and stuff. And like Wii Sports made it accessible to everyone, like regardless of your gaming background or your age, it felt like everyone could play or wanted at least to try out playing the Wii. I also felt like it was cheaper than other consoles, but maybe that's not true. It's hard for me to
remember. Yeah, I didn't buy it, so I don't know what the price was back then.
Yeah, I was working at Best Buy back then.
Oh, yeah. You had to deal with all the people buying it then?
Yeah. I didn't work in that department, but it was definitely people. That and the 360, I think, were pretty big as far as like people coming in and lining up to get stuff. What games were you drawn to? Growing up, like, did you play a lot of a certain type of game, or was it just whatever you guys had?
I don't remember. I guess maybe the first games that I got really obsessed with was Guitar Hero, actually.
Loved Guitar Hero, loved Rock Band. I was at my bachelor party was literally just everyone jamming out on Rock Band. It was amazing. Super nerdy, but one of the best nights I've had.
Nice. Yeah. Guitar Hero 3 was my first Guitar Hero game, but like I got so into that. Played definitely hundreds of hours. I had, I think, like 60 out of 70 songs FC'd on expert. Was like, you know, the first game I went super hardcore into.
Yeah.
And had all the other Guitar Heroes and Rock Bands after Guitar Hero 3 as well. But yeah, and I used to like, what was it called? Score Hero? There was some old forums where people uploaded their scores and stuff. So
I didn't get that into it. Yeah, it was more of a party game for me. Like, I wasn't great.
Yeah, that's what it should be if you're not like,
yeah,
you're not grinding. Like I am, but,
yeah. Was it the music aspect? Like, are you super into music, or was it just the game and what it brought?
Yeah, not really the music for me. It's like, it's just the mechanics and, you know, just really fun, like trying to improve my skill at it and stuff.
Sure.
Like, I mean, especially, you know, being a little bit younger than you, I was like, all these songs I'm hearing for the first time on Guitar Hero.
Sure.
When I hear all these things on the radio, I'm like, oh, I know this from Guitar Hero.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, a lot of that music I grew up with, and then it came out.
All that music, it's like, I know it from Guitar Hero now.
That's hilarious. Did that draw you into other, like, rhythm games, like Dance Dance Revolution or anything?
Not DDR, but in... I don't know how long ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I went through a rhythm game phase. I don't know if you've heard of Sound Vortex and 2DX, like also Bomani games, like DDR.
No.
They're Japanese rhythm games, like arcade rhythm games.
Oh, okay.
But they're like played on an arcade cabinet with buttons on it. But you can buy like imitation controllers to play at home. Okay. So I had a couple of friends that were into these and it got me into it. I bought some home controllers for these. And I was super into that for like 2 or 3 years. Like 2DX it's probably like, you know, the highest skill ceiling game ever. Like it's a pretty old school rhythm game, but like they still coming out with new versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like eight tracks that the notes are coming in. So you have 7 buttons and like a scratch wheel, like a turntable. So it's like there's a lot of lanes and like, you have to learn to play with different hand positions when you're scratching versus when you're not scratching. Mm-hmm. It's basically a very complex game. It has a very tight timing window. So a lot of it is like about being really good at timing and being able to play dense patterns while having extremely like precise timing on your button presses. But yeah, so about like 2 years, I was like grinding that game super hard and got pretty good at it. I didn't quite reach the highest level, which is Kaiden. I was Chuden, the second highest level.
Okay.
But like, that's still like, being Kaiden is like still a million times worse than the best players of the game.
Like,
yeah
but I feel like those people that get into like super get into those rhythm games are insane just because of how difficult it is, but then the grinding becomes like insane and
like after skill. Like 2 years, I felt like my skill level was like plateauing, right? It always happens with games like that. It's like it was becoming so much harder to get better.
Yeah.
And I also felt like if I take like a week or two off, then I would be so bad at the game for a bit after. Like I lost my ability to read the charts. So I was getting kind of frustrated with that. And that's when I kind of stopped playing it. But I still like it, but it's very hard to like get better from where I was.
Sure. Did that kind of end your rhythm game love as far as like the grind goes, or have you continued on? I know there's like other different versions of all this stuff around.
I haven't really been playing much rhythm games after that. Like if I go to the arcade or whatever, I'll play it a bit, but I don't have it like set up anymore at home, so I can't really play it. And there's not really, I mean, obviously I'm into other hobbies now, like Link to the Past after that one.
Sure.
But
what, where did your interest in Zelda come from? Were you playing like Twilight Princess, or what was your first Zelda? And did you have any sort of passion or love for it?
Yeah. For Zelda specifically, I think Twilight Princess was my first Zelda actually, after we got the Wii, like shortly after we got Twilight Princess. And I did really like that game, but I also didn't even finish it.
Oh, okay.
I played it, but like I got near the end, but I think I didn't finish it, even though I liked the game.
Really like it. I also get to the end and not finish it.
Yeah. I also like, at some point I played OT and Majora's Mask on emulator. I didn't have like an N64 or anything, but I think I did play through those games casually on emulator.
Okay.
And I enjoyed those games a lot. Link to the Past, I don't think I ever played casually, actually.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's kind of funny, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like most people's story is, I grew up with it as a kid, either when it came out or after, and I have some sort of nostalgia for it, and then I find the randomizer. I feel like that's like the most common story. It's not everyone's, obviously, but the most common, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes sense why like a lot of people are like 40 that play this.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So we all played it as a kid. And so we wanted to come back and experience something new.
Yeah. But so for me, it was like, I guess it would be like, I don't know, 2010, 2011. At some point, I started getting interested in speedrunning. Mm-hmm. I think Mario 64 actually was my first game that I got interested in speedrunning. Like, I don't remember exactly why. I probably saw some YouTube videos of it or something. Mm-hmm. And I got kind of interested in it.
Had you played Mario 64 before that?
You know, I probably had. Wasn't there like, there was Mario 64 on DS or something. I might have played that one.
Yeah.
I think I played it on DS.
Okay. Like,
yeah, not on N64.
Okay.
But yeah, for me, it's funny because all these games are mostly just, I just get interested in the speedrun and I don't even care about playing it casually.
Sure.
So yeah, I just jumped in and started like, you know, copying the videos and speedrunning Mario 64, did a bunch of 16 and 70 star. I was like all right at it, but not amazing or anything. And yeah, at that point, I guess I, you know, started racing on Speedruns Live and stuff as well.
Oh, okay.
Back then. But yeah, I kind of went through a bunch of different speedrun games. Like I did a lot of OOT speedrunning, played like some bingo races on SRL and kind of learned some basic OOT speedruns. I did some Majora's Mask speedrunning.
What made you first want to do like that? You said you saw a video of it, of speedrunning. Like, were you speedrunning before or like what even like prompt you into saying like, oh, I would like to speedrun? Because I watched speedruns before. And speedrunning was never my thing, but I never like watched like a GDQ or something. It was like, oh, I gotta try that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I mean, I'm pretty sure I just saw like YouTube videos of Mario 64 or something. Mm. I was like, oh, that would be cool if I could do that, I guess. I don't know. Mm. I don't know exactly why, but
sure.
It was like up my alley kind of.
Are you like in your 20s? Are you still a teenager?
I guess I would have been like probably 16 or 17 at the time.
Okay. See, that makes more sense. You're a kid, you're trying to find something to do, you see it on YouTube, and it's like, yeah, that seems like it could be fun, and
you
give it a shot. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. So it was OT and MM, I speedran. I did Yoshi's Island for a bit.
Mm.
I can't remember what else. But yeah, then, I mean, at some point, I tried Link to the Past, and that was the one I got the most into out of all the speedrun games.
And this is like early, right?
Yeah, like so it's like 2011. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know exactly where the speedrun was in 2011. Do you remember if it was still NMG at that point?
We didn't call it NMG, but
okay.
Yeah. So at the time it was like, we called it Any Percent No Save and Quit, but
okay.
It was pretty similar to what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when I started speedrunning, the fake flippers was not known. So we had to like do a different route to run to Hera. But at some point during that time, fake flippers was discovered and we switched to that. And then I know that like hook speed was known, I think, but spin speed was not known. When I got into the randomizer later, I did not know of spin speed until.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, yeah, like the game back then, I think the world record, it was still pretty good. It was like 127 or 128, something like that.
Yeah.
And although that was Crystal, who I think later got banned for cheating or something. I don't know what happened with all that. That was after I stopped playing.
Sure. But,
yeah. And I mean, there was obviously not a lot of people playing it back then. It was like, you know, we did some races, like NMG races on Speedruns Live that would get, you know, 5 or 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so my PB back then, I got to 132 or something, which was pretty decent for the time. But I still could have done better, but I always hated grinding out runs. Like I would play so much practice, but I would not like play much runs at all. But
you would practice, but not do runs. That's surprising because like practice is the thing that I hate the most.
I know. That was always my habit with speedrun games. You know, Yoshi's Island, I probably had like hundreds of hours of practice. I would just practice it like all the time, like just play random levels. And then I did like 1 or 2 runs and that was it. So like, I didn't really pay off all the practice.
That's what was funny hilarious. Was
like, I joined a Yoshi's Island like live race that had a lot of people in it. And I did really well in that. And then I told people that's my first run ever. And everyone called me a cheater or like Proof called me on that because nobody believed that was my first run.
That's so funny. I mean, that's going to play a part when we get to your randomizer story a little bit too.
Yeah, I think it's always been my habit, like, to just grind and get good at things, but like, I don't actually enjoy grinding out the runs that much.
That's hilarious.
On my own, grind it out and get good at it.
So back then, were you even started on Twitch? Because we've got on your channel, you can see your 134.39 any percent no save and quit run on there.
Yeah.
From 13 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, at some point while I was into speedrunning, it switched from Justin TV to Twitch, I think. That was in those days. It was the very start of Twitch. But yeah, I did have a Twitch and I streamed my my early Link to the Past speedruns on Twitch. Yeah, actually, I have a Yoshi's Island on there as well.
Yeah, 158.10. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So my 132 PB is on there, but the VOD is broken for some reason. Like it's just a black screen. But the 134 VOD still works. So at least I have some proof. 13 years ago.
And 134.39, where was that as far as like, because everyone has like a sub 130 now, I feel like. 134.39 is what 13 years ago would be what? Like,
yeah, I have no 100? Idea. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Like, how much things have evolved?
I honestly can't remember at all, but there was probably like, I don't remember at all, but there was probably like not that many people on the leaderboards. There was probably like 20 people on the leaderboard or something.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember. I would guess maybe I was at least top five or top 10, but I can't really remember at all. Yeah, I don't remember.
So what was it about Link to the Past though? Like what drew you to that game specifically? Since again, you didn't have any connection to the game originally.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess just back then I was like, you know, I was kind of checking out all the games that people that were popular to speedrun back at the time and just like probably tried out most of them, whatever I found kind of fun. Like, I guess the movement and everything in Link to the Past is like very, you know, feels very good and it's very complex. So it was very fun game to learn. But yeah, it's funny because back then, like, you know, there was no guides or anything. I'm pretty sure I just watched the world record run and tried to copy everything with no safeties or anything. And I also had never played the game casually. I just, my first time running was just trying to do a speed run with no silver arrows or anything.
That's hilarious.
just directly had to learn Ganon with no silvers.
Right. No practice hack to make things easier.
No practice hack. I remember on my emulator, I made a save state at the start of every single dungeon. So I would just like load all my different save states to go practice each dungeon individually.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah.
So how old are you again? 13 years ago, how old are you? Are you still under 20?
Like 17 or 18, probably.
Okay. So again, this is high school. I you guys have high school in Canada, right? I don't know if it's called that, but
it's... Yeah, that would be like, end of high school, start of university,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
I feel like I wasn't doing it when I was in university, so it was probably like end of high school, I guess, when I was doing this speedrun.
So when you graduate and start going to college, does gaming change for you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember. Like, I probably played Link to the Past for only about a year or so and then kind of like lost interest in it. And I did move on to some other speedrun games after.
Okay.
Like, I did Dust Force. I don't know if you ever played Dust Force.
Sounds familiar.
My Twitch picture is still Dust Force related, even though I haven't played that in like 10 years. But it's like a platformer, but it's like very fun movement. And it had like in-game leaderboards for every level and stuff. But like Super Meat Boy, I speedrun.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what else. But yeah, I mean, probably at some point, like not that long after, I think I kind of lost interest in speedrunning. At no point did I stop playing games, but at some point I stopped really doing speedruns. Like, I got really into like a lot of roguelikes and stuff, like Binding of Isaac, FTL, Slay the Spire. I've been into those for a long time. What else? I guess in university, like some of my friends all played League of Legends, so they all made me start playing League of Legends for a while. I don't play that game anymore. But
did it? Were you grinding a lot on League of Legends?
Not that much. Like I didn't like get a high rank or anything. It was mostly just playing with some university friends regularly, but
sure,
wasn't like good at it.
So gaming was always been a part of your story then, ever since that first PlayStation 1, really, right? Like it sounds like
yeah.
you have an interesting relationship with it where it sounds like you enjoy the grind more than the actual like finishing of the game or even like a run through the game. Or was that different when you're playing casual?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's different for casual games because, I mean, they don't have a grind really, or it's kind of different playing a game that's not a speed run, right?
Sure.
But generally, yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed games that is like a big grind that I can play for 1,000 hours. And
yeah,
I've always enjoyed games with a really high skill ceiling. Mm-hmm. Like another one I should mention is Rocket League. Like there was probably, when did Rocket League come out? Like 2017 or something, was it?
Was it that late? I thought it was before then. I don't know.
Was it earlier? Dates? Oh, 2015.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I was like really into Rocket League for probably at least five or six years. I have like 3,000 hours and I was like grand champion in it.
Wow. So
yeah,
you took the competitiveness of that pretty seriously then.
Yeah. 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 So it's always been like games with high skill ceilings for me that I can play for hundreds or thousands of hours and try to get really good at.
So something I've learned about you the last, again, just a couple months that we've been playing games is it seems like you're competitive. It's a different sort of, maybe it's the Canadian-ness in you, I don't know. Just like the niceness in the way that you compete. It's like not as contentious, maybe. Sports, were you playing golf in like high school and things like that? Were you playing other sports?
No.
Or is it the Canadian?
Golf is very different, actually, because, I mean, I only started playing it, like, after COVID, as many people did, because it was something you could do during COVID.
Okay.
And, like, I never have had lessons for golf, so I don't really have a proper swing or anything. I'm definitely not good at it. So golf is definitely different. For sports in general, it's different, I guess. Like, it's more of just a for fun thing, but, like, I'm not really that good at it.
Sure. So you weren't playing sports in high school? Any sports?
Yeah.
Hockey? Nothing?
Tennis. I've never played hockey. I'm also 6'4", but I never played basketball.
That's oh, wow. Asked. Of course. Yeah. But anyone that's tall is always going to get asked. Yeah. So you played basketball, right?
Yeah. I played soccer as a kid and then I played tennis for a while, like as I don't know what age, teenager maybe, but in university itself, I played squash a little bit in university, but yeah, it's always been casual for sports for me. I was never like that, never competitive in them.
So am I wrong about your competitiveness? Because I feel like you are competitive. I know that you're competitive in the games that we've done and the Asyncs that we've practiced. There is a competitive side to you, but maybe it's just more, I don't know. It feels like you maybe have a better handle on it or something. I don't know.
No, I'm definitely very, very competitive. Like I really hate losing. I get very mad at Rocket League when I lose a bunch of games in a row. I hate losing in general, which is why I wanted to get really good at Link to the Past. But yeah, I mean, at least I can control myself a bit and not be too salty when I lose in Link to the Past. I am very competitive. Yeah.
When did you make the move over to the States?
That was right after I graduated university. I got a job in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. Which was 7 years ago, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't have like, it actually kind of worked out very well because a few of my friends who were also interns at the same company also decided to move to California for the job. So I kind of had a few friends moving here at the same time as me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And yeah, it's very worth it for any software engineers.
Sure.
It's the pay in Canada is insanely lower compared to the pay in California. So
sure.
It's a very worth it move to make. And everyone at my university was like trying to get jobs in California.
Were you at school in Toronto still? Or like the Toronto area?
It was Waterloo, which is like a couple hours away. But yeah.
Oh, okay. That's where, but still general area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it much different going from Canada to the States? I mean, I know you're basically, you know, we're so close, but it is different. And you're going from East Coast to West Coast and.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the weather is definitely different. We don't have the real winters here, but I mean, I wouldn't say that much changed for me overall. Like it's a similar culture for the most part. there's not like that much change for me, and I still kind of had the same friend group as well after moving. Yeah, so
that helps.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was like not too hard of a move for me generally. So it's kind of
overall chillness feels like you should be in Southern California as opposed to Northern California. Is that do you find that that's just your personality? Is that, do you feel like that's, I know this is a, I'm painting a brush with really broad strokes, but it is a Canadian thing. You're just so much more chill than I feel like anyone else I found in this community.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that's just my personality.
It's just kind who of. You are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very not like, you know, not combative. Like, you know, I feel like I've never like made someone mad at me in my entire life. I just kind of go with the flow. And
that's an impressive skill to have. I mean, I've had plenty of people mad at me just probably today alone. that's a cool trait to have.
Yeah.
So where then does Link to the Past come? How do you find out about Link to the Past? Because you're relatively new. Like, I think I just first saw your name this last year, right?
Yeah, so October 2023 was my first race. Wow. But yeah, I can say like how I got into randomizers. Yeah, it was, so actually one of my friends, he was kind of just casually playing a randomizer, a Majora's Mask randomizer, actually. Okay. That was actually the first one. So my friend, like, I don't know, 3 years ago maybe, he was casually playing some Majora's Mask randomizer and saying like it was pretty fun. So at some point I decided to like get the emulator and try it out, and I had a lot of fun with it. So I played like a whole bunch of Majora's Mask randomizer seeds casually. It was like, found it very fun, like very interesting.
Those are tough, aren't they? Like
Majora's Mask specifically, or?
I mean, that game is, that game is tough by its own, and then randomizing everything because of the way time works. Like, I haven't played the randomizer, but it just seems complicated.
It tends to have a huge number of like side quest items, I guess, right? Like one-off checks kind of, because, you know, the game itself is like, has all the masks, like a million different little side quests with all the masks. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of things where you get a mask and it's like, it gives you one check. Mm. So yeah, there's a lot of like knowledge like that, but yeah, the tracker helps obviously, same as,
aren't they long too? Like, they're pretty long seeds.
Yeah, I don't know like what a competitive race time would be, but probably 3+ hours I would guess.
Okay,
there is only 4 dungeons in the game though, but
yeah,
I'm not actually sure like what a competitive Majora's Mask time would be, but yeah, it's definitely longer than Link to the Past for sure.
Yeah, you didn't get it into it competitively. You're just playing the game casually for fun.
Yeah, I was just playing for fun, and so we played that a bunch. At some point decided to also try OT randomizer, and then I liked that even more than Majora's Mask randomizer. Mm-hmm. And I also played more of OT when I was in my speedrun days than Majora's Mask.
Sure.
So I played a ton of OT randomizer, like a lot of different, you know, settings, and then I got some of my friends into it. We played a bunch of multi-worlds on it as well. And that was nice. Super fun.
Yeah.
And then, that was my first time thinking about racing finally. Like, after I played a lot of OT randomizer and seeing all the races happening in the Discord, I finally decided, like, I'm kind of interested in trying out racing this because I played so much on my own that I'm, like, pretty good at it already.
When you say so much, like, how long have you been, have you been playing, or how many seeds have you run? Like, you say so much, what does that mean?
Yeah, I have no idea, but probably like a few months I was into it, and I would pretty much just like play a seed almost every day when I get into it. Like,
okay.
So I probably played like, you know, 50, 100 seeds, maybe probably more before I even tried racing it.
Okay.
And like, I would also, you know, start to look at the Discord and see what glitches or like, you know, movement tricks people use and learn all of those things and stuff. And then, but yeah, so at some point I decided I was interested in racing it, which meant I had to like revive my 12-year-old Twitch channel, download OBS and remember how to stream and everything.
Sure.
So yeah, they have like weeklies for OT randomizer. They don't really have many pickup races, but like they have weeklies that get decent turnout, especially since at the time there was like the tournament qualifiers was at the same time.
So when is this? This is 2 or 3 years ago?
I guess I can look at my race time and see. It was probably like
after the pandemic.
It's probably just 2023. Yeah, wasn't that long ago. Let me see. My first OT race was Oh wait, it was 2021. I was in this race? Okay, it was 2021. Okay. Maybe my timelines are a little bit off right now.
Sure.
Okay, I guess I was getting into the randomizers like 5 years ago then.
Okay.
4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so my first race was in O2 was in 2021, I guess.
Okay.
I got...
And you've been playing for a few months before you actually decided to race.
At least a few months.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this race had like 100 and... Something like 130 people in it or something. Jeez. That's insane.
Again, 2021, we're coming off of the pandemic, right? Like people are starting to go back to work. But randomizers especially picked up a lot of players during 2020, 2021.
At 137 entrants in the O2 randomizer. That's insane. Like, yeah, this was also like the tournament qualifiers were happening at the same time, I think. It was like the weekly was also a tournament qualifier. So it had increased attendance because of that.
Okay.
Yeah, my first ever race, I got 22nd out of 137. So,
jeez,
pretty good for that.
Yeah, and that's when people start going like, "Is this guy cheating? Who is this guy?"
Right? Yeah, so I had to post in the Discord after like that was my first ever race, and a bunch of people were like, "Are you serious?"
Yeah. So common story. Who is this guy, and why is he so good already? Yeah.
So I practiced so much of that, and let me see.
Are you still playing it?
Nah, not for a while.
Yeah.
So then, how many races of O2 randomizer did I join? Like, maybe like 6 or 7. Like, not really that many, considering how much I practiced it. I think at least one of them I did really well. Like, I got like 5th place or something. Okay, yeah, wow. The last one I did was 5th out of like 38.
Yeah, that's really good.
Only a few minutes behind first. But anyway, yeah. So I was enjoying that, but like. OT randomizer still is, you know, after I eventually got into Link to the Past randomizer, I feel like Link to the Past is such a better game to race, or such a more enjoyable game to race for me.
Mm.
Like the...
Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, partly I wasn't that good at OT, so I don't know, maybe people did do skips and stuff. Like one thing that was crazy to me when I started playing Link to the Past and seeing the meta... was like, I can't believe people go to a dungeon and just skip items there. Like, that's insane. It's like, you would never do this in OT. Mm-hmm. It's such a slower paced game in general. Like,
sure.
The seeds are 3.5 hours. That's one thing that sucks as well. It's just kind of painful to play 3.5 hour seed. And like, I would always have to go to the bathroom in the middle of a seed and either have to suffer or just lose 2 minutes in the middle of a seed.
But,
totally yeah, it's a very, very different game for racing. So much slower paced. And it's still a very interesting and fun randomizer, I think. But
sure.
Yeah. I end up like enjoying the Link to the Past randomizer so much more. And it's, but yeah, so I guess.
So that's 2021. Then what are you doing between 2021 and 2023 when you find Link to the Past?
Yeah, I don't know actually. My last OOT race was 2021, April. Like, yeah, I don't know if I was still into randomizers or not. I played a few different ones as well. Like I did I got into the Ages randomizers a bit. Like Ages and Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons.
Yeah.
Those ones are pretty fun actually. I've
never played those games, period. Those are like the few Zelda games I haven't played yet.
I mean actually for me as well, like I'd never played those casually. I just played the randomizer part without having ever played them casually. But Yeah, I don't remember exactly. Maybe I dropped out of randomizers a little bit, or maybe not. But yeah, at some point when we were into these multi-worlds, we also tried out in Link to the Past randomizer multi-world, which was my first time playing the Link to the Past randomizer. Mm-hmm. After that, I was playing a little bit of solo seeds casually, like just once in a while, getting into it and playing a few solo seeds for Link to the Past since I was finding it pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Yeah, I don't know. At some point, like, it was at least several months before I actually did my first race. I started getting interested in racing Link to the Past randomizer.
But you don't remember what drove the interest or, like, what made you then pick up the game?
Yeah, it's... I can't remember exactly. I mean, I actually found the Ladder website, I think, is, like, what kind of made me interested. I was like... Like I saw the Ladder website, I was like, wow, that's really cool. There's like these constantly scheduled races that have consistent people joining and like good attendance. And I was like, that's such a cool system to have all the leaderboards and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, seeing that, I was like kind of
let me grind little, the game for 6-7 months before I race it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, made me get a little interested in it. But then I'm not the type of person where I want to just like join races and get destroyed every time as a newbie. I don't like losing. So I was like, okay, time to start the grind. Like, I don't know how long. I was probably like 4 or 5 months, like just grinding, playing tons of seeds, watching good players play and route, copying everything the good players did.
Well, how do you find the good players then? Is it from the ladder? Do you like look at ladder race time and see who are putting up good results and start following them on Twitch? And who were those people?
I mean, one thing, I think I might have looked at ladder leaderboards and see who's around the top to try to get an idea of like who's actually good, who's like the best players at the game. Because I might as well copy the best players if I'm going to copy anyone. Mm-hmm. But, and also just searching on YouTube randomly and seeing the restreamed races come up. I know one of the first races ever that I like watched a video of, because I was like practicing casual boots, like playing some seeds. I wanted to see like what's the meta opener, right? Like what should I do after the escape and like what are the dash lines I should take and everything, right? Mm-hmm. I know that one of the first ones I saw was one of Gem's races. I don't know, Gem versus someone, I don't know who. It was in the casual one of the old casual boots tournaments. And so watching that, I was like, you know, copying his entire opener and trying to learn all the dash lines off of that and stuff. But then I think overall Gem, Telethar, and Gamma, probably those three, which is like a pretty good three to copy.
For sure.
those three are probably the ones where I like watched a ton of VODs and streams of them and basically just tried like listen to everything they say about routing and try to copy everything they do. Pretty much. That was my strat. And it's been working pretty well.
It paid off. So then you start racing, right? Like, do you remember the first race that you joined, or was it the ladder?
Yeah. So actually, like, it's kind of funny, like I joined ladder and my first time racing on race time was like in the Rekfens invitational tournament. So I never I never did a casual race on race time. I raced on ladder only for like 4 months or something.
That's hilarious.
Or more than that probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember my first race, like I started out only joining casual boots, which makes sense. That's like probably the best beginner mode. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first race, I think it was against Zenishwert, who's like an EU player, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've raced that guy ever since. That's the only time I've raced him. I definitely lost that race. I actually was only a couple minutes behind, even though I had some disasters, but it's because I got really lucky and he pulled ped and like last located hammer pegs. Mm-hmm. And I got something on hammer pegs like way earlier. Or no, Thieves Tom Big Chest. It was Thieves Tom Big Chest.
Wow.
Because I got something in there and he last located it and I almost won the race because of that.
Wow.
But I remember like, one thing I remember happening that race was that up to that point, I didn't know you could bonk the bombable wall in Sanctuary to get the three checks there.
Oh, yeah.
I thought if you didn't get bombs and escape, you had to just leave that and come back with glove. But then I never got a glove, so I ended up going all the way through the sewers again to get to those three checks.
Oh, no.
And then I watched his VOD after. I was like, oh, my God, I could have just bonked that long.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's lots of random little things like that, right? That you don't know at first.
Mm-hmm. But then, there's a lot, for sure. There's a lot that goes into the game, especially if you want to get good.
No, there's an insane amount. Like, I remember thinking, like, it was amazing how in my early days of playing the randomizer, I would watch someone good playing and almost every single screen, I would be like, I learned something new on that screen, like dash lines or tricks or glitches that I didn't know, or using an item if you happen to have hookshot in a certain situation, or it was like insane how almost every single screen in the entire game, I was like, I'm doing something suboptimally there. It's very interesting how insanely optimized the game was. I think that's probably why I was able to get good really fast, right? Like joining in 2023, people were like insanely good at the game and it was super optimized already, right?
Yeah.
So if I just start out by just watching like the completely optimized, perfect gameplay almost and like routing and just copy that instead of like playing years ago and, you know, kind of forming bad
learning habits. Yeah, for sure.
It was like,
I mean, you make it sound easy because there's a lot of people that watch Gamma and Telethar and aren't as good as you are, like, and have been playing longer. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah. There's definitely more to it than just watch good runners and try to copy them. Like, I've been trying to copy Gamma my entire career, and it hasn't worked out very well. But, that's different. Yeah. So I kind of step away from the game the last year, and I had no idea who you were until the Cavs Boots tournament last summer.
Yeah.
And I didn't really follow it that much, but I'm friends with GGW, and I'd heard that he'd made the finals, and I saw his opponent was someone named Jammo, and I remember talking to Gamachu and maybe a few other people, Shereen or something, like, who the hell is Jammo and how is he in the Kazbits finals? Like, that didn't make any sense to me. But
yeah, no, that was my favorite part of, like, I always do that. I mean, yeah, I already mentioned it in OT, but I love just getting good on my own. And then, like, in those early ladder races, I was already having such a good win rate on ladder from the start. And I would always go to my opponent's stream when I win, and they would always be like, who the hell is this guy? I love that. It's so funny. It's like, which it makes sense. If someone who I've never heard of beats me, I will also be like, who the hell is that guy?
But, totally. Yeah. Did you have to deal with any negative side effects of that? Was there any people talking about you cheating or any of the things that go along with people being jealous of someone being better than them?
I'd say very little. Like, there's a couple times where someone was like kind of speculating that I might be a cheater or an alt or something on after a ladder race, but very few times. Like, mostly people just believe everyone
are salty.
And yeah, but like, you know, I did think a lot early on, especially because, like, you know, as I joined the community, I saw a few bans coming in, and I was like, damn, I bet everyone thinks I'm cheating because, like, my results are, like,
right,
way too good for a new player.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, as I played more, I realized, like, I think good players can, like, identify and see that someone actually has good execution and routing, and, like, it's in line with their results, right? So
totally.
At some point, I was like, yeah, probably. I think people can probably, if they watch me, see that, like, it makes sense that I'm having good results. But yeah, that Kaz Boots tournament, that one was so exciting because, like, you know, still nobody knew who I was at that point. And it was not my first tournament, I guess, my second tournament, because I made the Restaurants Invitational earlier that year.
Okay.
But I think when I started playing, there was kind of a drought of tournaments at that time, like October 2023. Like, I think it was just after League and after Main, and there wasn't really many tournaments happening around then, at least that I knew of. So for a while after I started playing, I was like looking for a tournament to join because I knew that, or I started realizing, like, you know, that's kind of what everybody cares the most about. And like, there's kind of this structure where there's all these separate tournaments at the same time, which was interesting because in OOT, there's like only the main tournament, which is like run by the main Discord. So it was kind of a different format than OOT.
Yeah.
But yeah, finally that Kaz Boots one came up. So obviously I was going to join that. And then, yeah, I went 6-0 in my group. And then, you know, the bracket, I was like, I saw that it's, you know, I could potentially go to like the semifinals or something before I would run into Gemma or Gamma or something like that. I mean, I had Jesse in second round though. Like, so I saw that one was going to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously I'm not trying to be like mean to any of the other opponents I faced. Like, it's also Kaz Boots, so I definitely had to get lucky to get that far.
True.
But I definitely saw that it looked like a good opportunity to like do really well in one of my first tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, that would be so cool because like nobody knows who I am still at this point. So
yeah,
that would be so cool if I can just, you know, burst in and do really well in the tournament on my first try.
For sure.
And then, yeah.
And you run into the beast that is GGW. But I mean, second place is nothing to scoff at. There's so many people that have been in this community for so long and are really good at the game that don't have a second place finish in tournaments. You know what I mean? Like, especially one as big as the Kaz Boots tournament.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's Kaz Boots though. So like, I was definitely fortunate during that run, but
it's funny you say that. I feel like there's a totally different sentiment towards open and standard seeds than there was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Like, that was just that was just how randomizer, like, it was open in Kaz Boots. Now it's like, oh, it's an open mode. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just a weird, I mean, for me, it's weird because it's almost like people look down on
What was the standard back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, it's what yeah. we were, what the whole thing was built on. Now it's like, no, it's either AD or entrance.
Yeah.
Or else it's the open modes, baby modes, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I joined, when I was playing in that tournament, I didn't so much have that mindset, right?
Sure.
I hear people saying Kaz Boots is a lot of luck. I know that's true, but for me, that was still the main mode then, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess my opinion has developed as I got a lot better. And, now I'm the good player who's I don't want to play Kaz Boots and lose to someone who with way worse execution because they got really lucky.
I know, but that's the heart of the randomizer. I feel like we've lost the heart of the randomizer in that, where it's only the best players can win. And one of the best parts about randomizer, I know it sucks for some of the best players, but is that, in those open modes, in those Kaz Boots modes, everyone's got a shot, regardless of whether you're good or not. I don't know. It's looking down on that, I feel like is kind of ruins the appeal, at least for a lot of the community, of what makes it special.
Obviously, there's no I don't think badly of people that prefer non-keys modes. That's a totally valid opinion, and it's definitely, it might be more fun for a lot of people, and that mm-hmm. makes sense. And I mean, it was more fun for me at first as well.
right. It's the fun part when you join, and then you get to be really good, and it's the worst part of the game is losing all those people.
The fun part is just winning. I don't care about
there's something that's kind of lost in all of that. Yeah. So it's a little unfortunate. True.
But it's also just the community trends towards complexity, right? As people have played the game for years.
For sure.
It was so strange to me when I first joined the Tark Discord, and I was like, are you only allowed to play cross keys in pickup races or what? Why is 100% of the races just cross keys? Really also why I mainly just played ladder, because early on I didn't even know how to play cross keys, right? Mm-hmm. And I preferred casual boots early on.
Sure. What's been fun for me is I've been around this community for almost 7 years now, and I don't know how much of my story but I've been burnt out by this game a lot, burnt out by the community a lot, and playing with someone that has fresh eyes like you do has been super invigorating for me. It allows me to kind of recapture some of that feeling of not being so, burnt out. I'm done thousands of races and losing to people that I shouldn't lose to. And you know what I mean? It becomes a grind.
Yeah. No, I totally understand how after 7 years, you're probably just not that interested in just playing solo anymore. It makes sense why you're saying that you're a big fan of co-op, but not so much solo.
Yeah. And
that totally makes sense. Cause co-op is it's been super fun. It's I hadn't played much before the league. I started mm-hmm. playing a few with Gamma kind of before the league started, but I was pretty new to co-op, but it's been super fun.
Yeah. Especially because, Gamma is one of my good friends in the community. We race a lot. We've been on league teams for 6 years or 5 years or whatever. And it's the person that I'm probably most associated with. And that dude is insanely good at the game. His execution is leagues above mine. There's no I'm never going to be claimed that I have the best execution, but that dude always just goes left when you're supposed to go left and right when you're supposed to go right, and he can make up for it with really good execution, whereas my execution isn't quite as good, and I tend to always go right when you're supposed to go left. And so it's so frustrating when that's the person that you're racing with the most and you're constantly getting beat by. It becomes super frustrating when there is a luck aspect of it for sure. But man, it's almost like I was in a group of people that were too good, and it made it worse for me, where you just the luck just never seems to go my way. I'd get messages from Gamma that was really unlucky. I'm that's the constant message that I'm always getting, is you were super unlucky. It gets frustrating. But
it's always some of both, right?
For sure. It's been like I said, it's been super fun. I don't know, tell me about your first experience with the league. I have a huge love for the league, obviously. I created the league, and co-op is definitely big and important for me, and the modes came out. I, like many other people, I was not happy or with what they did, You, on the other hand, weren't looking at it through the same lenses, right? Like you hadn't been beat down by the different modes that we played throughout the years and the knowledge of what can come with it, right? Yeah. That we've seen a downtick in attendance for this year, especially. But for you, I don't know, kind of give me your fresh eyes for the league. How's your experience been? How's it been teaming with myself and Beer? How's your league races gone?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, like, yeah, it's pretty funny that, you know, when we first, like, you first got on the team with us, then, you know, I first met you, we were like going to play a co-op and that was when we were introducing ourselves. And then you were like, oh, by the way, I created league. I was like, oh my God. Oh shit. I didn't even realize. Like, I've definitely seen your name around, but like, I didn't even really know who you were, which makes sense because you hadn't really been racing very actively.
But,
yeah. Yeah. That was pretty funny. And then also, like, I listened to that, you know, podcast with you and Gamma after Gamma won the main tournament. And it was funny listening to you both saying, like, the mode sucks so much. I'm not going to, you were both saying you're not going to join this time. But that was after I already knew you were going to join us. So I was like, I guess we managed to change his mind on that one. I think it was probably pretty easy, right? As long as we say that you don't have to play doors, then you were, like, good to go.
I'll tell you this much. So I agreed to join, you know, Gamma put us all together. And I started to play again. I did some like ladder races and things, and they did not go well. I was like, what am I doing? And I tried to get Gamma to replace me. I don't think I told you this. And then I messaged Beer. I'm like, I don't think I can play, man. Like, I'm sorry. I know you registered and stuff. Maybe we can find a replacement. And he's like, no, just play. And Gamma's did the same thing. He's like, just play. It'll be fine. I'm glad I played, but I definitely tried to get out of it last minute.
I see. Yeah, I didn't realize you tried to do that.
Yeah.
Even after we were crushing all those ASICs, you still wanted to get out of it?
No, because I don't think we had done that yet. I think it was, I was just kind of, you know, I hadn't played in months. I think the last time I played was last July. And so I was like, I got to play something. You know, I have to get some muscle memory back.
Yeah.
And so I started doing some solo seeds, and the solo stuff was just like, I can't do it. And I think that's, I was
like, yeah, like I think I saw you play a couple of those ladder races and you just ended up forfeiting like all of this. Yeah,
so like, pissed, man. I get so pissed. Yeah. It's like I can only last locate so many times, but when I last locate in co-op, it feels a little bit different. I don't know. I'm way bigger of a fan of co-op. I just really enjoy playing with someone else. It is my bread and butter. And then Beer told me, he's like, don't play any solo weeks and you'll be fine. I ended up playing a solo week, but
and you won that one.
Yeah, luckily. I should not have won that one, but tell me about your experience so far.
But I mean, the modes for me, it was like I'm much more open to this stuff, I think, than most people, maybe because I'm new, but also that's just my mindset. Like for me, it's like, it's exciting to have a new mode come up and I'm like, oh, I have something to like go practice and learn. Like even if it's doors, for me, that's still like exciting that it's something for me to go do. So I've always, you know, enjoyed new modes and new stuff to practice. So
because it's all new, right? It's all new. Everything's new to you, really. Yeah. I mean, relatively speaking, for sure.
But yeah, so for that part, I was like very open to. But yeah, in terms of teams, I was like, maybe if Gamma has a spot on whatever team he's on, maybe he'll let me join. But other than that, I don't really know many people. So I was like, I probably just won't have a team for this. And I was like, kind of too bad because like, you know, the last league, I think, was more than a year ago, right?
Yeah, they took they switched it from fall back to spring. So they took all of 2024 off. Yeah,
the last league was like, I think just around the time I started racing in the first place, because I vaguely remember seeing a few restreams of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and it seems like everyone always talks about league, like it's their favorite tournament and stuff, right? So I was like, it'd be kind of too bad if I don't like get to join. I was like, maybe I could just, you know, see if I can find some random people who I don't know or anything. Mm-hmm. But ideally, I'd also find some people who are like, you know, relatively good at the game and we can do well in it. And, but yeah, then, yeah, Gamma ended up like pinging me, and I guess Gamma built our entire team for us, so we can thank him for that.
Yeah,
but I was super excited we got a team because I was like, yeah, I haven't played much co-op, but I really enjoyed the few co-ops I played, and so I was really excited. And you know, it's fun to have like a reason to go do some co-op practice and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, we started playing a whole bunch of co-op practice and had a lot of fun with that. Like, it was, I think, had a lot of fun with both you and Beer. I think we, you know, got on well together. Mm-hmm. And also it helps that, like, we were crushing the Asyncs, like a lot of Asyncs we got first place yeah. on. So we're just feeling pretty good. And then, yeah, it's been really fun. And yeah, in terms of once the league started, we continued crushing, at least for a while. We were 7-1 the last couple of weeks, not quite crushing so much. I mean,
that Doors weak, man.
Yeah, Doors unfortunately is very high variance, and I think we got a little unlucky there. But we're still 8-4, so we're still doing well. And we got a co-op week coming up. So
yeah, and we're in the playoffs. We've guaranteed our spot in the playoffs. So
I think so. But
it's on the website. At least, the website has this playoff clinched. So I'm gonna go by that. Yeah.
If we trust the website, I'm still not 100% sure, because the tiebreaker scenarios are very complicated with multiple teams. But
yeah.
I mean, we probably are guaranteed in. I'm not really sure.
It's there. We're guaranteed. Don't worry. Yeah. Don't worry. We're in. If not, I'll burn the league to the ground for lying to us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. If they put the PC next to our name, then they have to let us into the playoffs. They're not allowed to take that back.
For sure. Were you hesitant at all about teaming with me? Because again, you didn't know who I was. You hadn't seen me race. Or did you just take Gamma at his word?
No, I mean, when me and Beer were playing, like, yeah, I mean, Beer was kind of saying, I was like, Beer, you probably have to find a third because I don't really know anybody. So, but I told Beer, like, yeah, I'm totally fine with anybody. Like, I'm kind of excited to get a chance to enter league at all. Like, it doesn't matter if they're like what their skill level is really at all.
But, yeah. Luckily enough, skill didn't matter when it came to me being the third, for sure. I feel like I've been playing the game for, again, 7 years or so. And I'm like constantly relying on you for like logic and how to figure out what we're doing and like execution. Yeah. You taught me how to do some stuff like a bomb jump and spec rock and stuff.
No, I mean,
so it's pretty funny.
Grinded the game like crazy and you've been not playing, so it makes sense. But I mean, even like you may be a little washed on execution. I'll agree with that part. But I think like you definitely like have a good sense for co-op. Like it makes sense because you say like you mostly play co-op and you like it so much. But like I think you have a good sense of like, you know, how to split things up and where different people can go. And like there's definitely, you're good at like keeping track of what our options available are, because it's a totally different skill, I think. Like,
yeah,
that was one thing that when I started playing co-op, I was like, my brain is so scrambled trying to play the game and do co-op at the same time. Like trying to think of what our options as a team are, like what logic do we have available as a team? It's so much harder. And there's so much times where I just have a horrible execution for 10 seconds because I'm like trying to think about something and I just play the autopilot and start doing stupid things. So
I feel like recently, even with some of our tougher seats that we've gotten, where it's like, I'm just like at the pause menu, like, what am I doing next? Which isn't great, but just kind of some of the bad luck that we've gotten recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's co-op is definitely just a totally different experience. And it definitely specifically takes a lot of practice for co-op to know what's going on and try to still play the game well, while playing as a team. But it's really fun as well. So, yeah.
Has there been a mode that you've enjoyed more than others? I mean, now that you've experienced them, we're heading into the last week, the co-op Animizer week, which you and I aren't playing together with, so we haven't done any practice together. But is there any weeks that you've enjoyed more than others? Or
I mean, I do like co-op ADKDB key drop. Like I enjoy that mode in general. Like I did pretty well in the tournament for that. I've entered both those key drop tournaments run by Gem and Telethar. So that mode was already kind of up my alley. Although at the same time, it was like, you know, I was still pretty inexperienced with co-op and I was jumping in straight to ADKDB.
Yeah.
It's like that mode is hard as co-op. Like you have six swamp keys and you're trying to remember like where do we get swamp keys? Where do we get ice keys? Where do we get TR keys? And it's pretty insane. I still like it as a co-op mode, but like you know, most people probably just jumped into co-op AD as their first non-key sanity. For me, I'm like jumping straight into the deep end with that.
Yeah, so, for sure.
But I still enjoyed that mode. And then, yeah, I think cross keys as well. I know that's your favorite. And I think for me as well, yeah, co-op cross keys has been really fun. It's definitely tough though. Like, it took a lot of practice before I felt like I was even able to keep up with the tracking. Now we're kind of trying out the co-op tracker, so it's like a little different. Like, you don't have to keep up so much on your own end, but either way, it just feels very chaotic in a different way from AD key drop. Like, key drop, you're trying to keep track of where all these keys are. Cross keys, you're like, where are all these entrances? Where is our connectors? Where is my teammate right now? Like, he's just all over the place. All of a sudden he's on mountain and all of a sudden he's on dark world. Like, yeah. But yeah, I think those two have definitely been my most favorite modes, which are also, you know, the lowest variance modes. So I'm most likely to win them as well.
Has there been anything that you haven't liked? Like, you know, you said you're excited to learn doors and stuff. And obviously you could say you didn't like it because you didn't win, but...
That is true. But yeah, I mean, doors was like, I like that it introduced me to doors. I kind of had fun learning it. And I think I, you know, got quite a bit better at playing it. In terms of racing the mode, it was a little frustrating because, like, you often end up searching for one item out of 100 checks, and that just always sucks. Like, it's open, but even higher variance. And also, like, in terms, like, you just both enter GT at the same time. One person goes right, one person goes left, and one person can save, like, 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So stuff like that is kind of frustrating for racing if you're competitive like I am. But
yeah, for sure.
Overall, I still, like... I enjoyed learning it as an introduction to doors. I guess the other thing is, like, boss hunt. Like, I did, you know, I dodged that week. I mean, you guys play that one.
Yeah.
That was the only week I dodged, right? That was my one.
Yeah.
My one get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
That one's just a variation on open, which is like, yeah. At this point, I'm like, you know, a little disinterested in playing open.
Sure. But sure. You did play the Inversia week, which we kind of skipped over. You also made the finals of that tournament too, right?
The Inverted tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, I've been feeling a little cursed in tournaments. Like, I think I've been top four times and two finals, and I can't quite finish one off. Like, that one again, especially,
sucks, but yeah. Man, that's such good results, like insanely good results.
Yeah. But that one, I was pretty upset. Like, it was the finals. I was up one game two. I just needed to win game two or three. I kind of got unlucky in both of them, especially the game three. It was like, I skipped left side swamp. I would have won by like 20 minutes if I did it. And instead lost by like 4 minutes. I was like one item go mode. So that was very upsetting because that was for the tournament. And I still haven't quite managed to win one yet. But yeah, I'll keep trying and hopefully get one eventually. You also
League, here it comes.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on this one too much because of, you know, one team that's there that is pretty good. But
sure,
we beat them on a couple of asyncs, so it's not impossible. But
hey, maybe they get eliminated by someone else. You just never know, right?
I mean, yeah,
Gamma's never won a league, right? Like, that's,
is that true? Really?
Yeah. We got second place.
That means you've never won a league either?
That's correct. Second place in second season.
I see.
So that was the closest we got.
Well, we'll try to make this the first one, but yeah.
Yeah. See, don't worry. My luck will bring us down. Don't worry.
But we have done well on asyncs, so I think we have a shot at it for sure.
Sure.
But
sure. It is randomized.
It'll be fun either way.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a blast. What are you playing outside of Rando? Are you still gaming besides Randomizer, or is it just that taking up most of your time?
Yeah, Randomizer takes up a lot of the time, yeah. You know, I actually, like, I hadn't played Rocket League for a couple of years, but then when I was racing against Andy, like, Andy still plays Rocket League, and we were talking about it a little bit, and he was like, we should play it sometime. So I actually reinstalled Rocket League. I've been playing that a little bit the past, like, few weeks, just kind of casually. That's been pretty fun. I do play random games on Steam. Like, so actually UFO 50, I've been talking to you about that a little bit. UFO 50 is like an amazing game that was, I didn't even really hear about it until it was about to come out, but it's like a 50 game collection 50 NES style games, and it's only like $25. But the games have like a surprising amount of depth. So I have like almost 100 hours in the game, and a lot of games I haven't even touched out of the entire collection. And a lot of games have been really good. And I've also been working on an MSU for the game, because I've been talking to you about that a little bit as well, since you've made a few MSUs. You can give me some advice on that, but that's been kind of tough, but I pretty much finished with it. So that's kind of an exciting one.
Yeah. Look for it soon.
Yeah. I'll probably post that on the Discord whenever I finish cleaning it up, but the game has some great music, and it was like, I think it was like a perfect choice for like my first MSU pack, because there's a huge variety of music. It's really easy to find songs fitting each track.
Yeah.
And there's also like very easy loop points in all the songs.
Yeah. So that helps. I was able to use
that music looper, and it just almost every time just got me a perfect loop point for free. And it's like, I can't imagine if I had to manually loop every single song, like it would have been 10 times as much work. And this already felt like so much work to fill out this playlist.
But, yeah. Totally understandable. All right, man. So I've taken a ton of your time, but it's been cool to hear your story. There's something that I ask everyone at the end of the show, and that's the question about Tilt. I feel a little bit different asking you about this, because we've played a lot. Like, you and I have done a lot of co-op together, and I've watched you do some solo racing too. And it doesn't feel like you get really tilted. So my question for you is, and it's the same for everyone, is like, do you get tilted? And if you do, how do you handle your tilt?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's really true. I think I get tilted, like, same as everyone. Yeah, like, if I have a bad death or I last locate, and then I definitely feel kind of tilted, and I definitely think it can affect my gameplay. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I deal with it well. Like, I guess I do think, like, you know, it's funny, during that Casual Boots tournament run, like, that entire bracket phase, almost every single race I felt terrible about, and I felt like I was going to lose the entire time, every single race, the whole bracket. And I just kept winning. I was like, how did these things keep happening to my opponents? Like, it's, like, it definitely happens. Like, sometimes just people did the same thing as you, or they even did something worse than you, or they last located something that you didn't even consider could happen.
Right.
So yeah, I guess you have to have the mindset, like, things happen to other people as well. They didn't play perfectly, and just try to keep playing your game. But I don't know if I'm necessarily good at having that mindset. But for me, I just need to not make mistakes, and then I'll be happy.
But, sure. So when you do get tilted, what do you do? I feel like, again, we've done a lot, and there's been a lot for us to be tilted about, and I feel like there's more often than not, I'm like, I just like, Jammo, I just died to Cold Stare. I'm super tilted. And you're like, it's all right. It's all right. So what do you do for yourself when that happens?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess you try to forget about it. I don't know. Like, sometimes I get later in a seat and I've kind of forgot by that point. I'm like, oh yeah, I died to Cold Stare really. I hope that doesn't affect the results of the race. But I don't know, because there's also times where I have a bad death or something, and then I actually, you know, try to metagame it, like, you know, try to recover, because you're sure you're behind, and try to do checks the opponent's not doing. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But more importantly, sometimes you're just totally wrong about the state of the race, and you think you're behind and you're not behind, and you feel really stupid if you throw away the race by doing stupid stuff. But
for sure.
Yeah. I don't know in particular. I feel like in co-op, like, maybe it doesn't affect me as much, like, because a lot of things can happen in co-op. It's more chaotic. There's more going on, and there's just a lot of things you can feel good about, a lot of things you can feel bad about. Like, there's been a lot of times where we last locate something, but then I'm telling you, like, maybe by last locating that, we got this item, and we would have missed that if we didn't last locate, right? So that's another way you can cope, right? You can say, like, maybe last locating actually was a good thing. Sometimes sometimes it is. So.
Sometimes it is, man. like flippers in K45 gets you the ice rod on the pyramid before...
Sometimes it's all about just last locating the correct thing.
And right.
Last locate the thing that locks more items.
Totally.
but get the thing on the way that locks nothing.
Yeah, that's the randomizer. All right, yeah. Man, thanks so much for doing this. It was really cool that you shared your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was really fun. You're so easy to talk to. We can go all day on this. And as you can tell, I love talking about all my random niche hobbies that I spend way too much time on. So
yeah. We got practice though, Jamo. We got to get to practicing.
Yeah, that's true.
Use bows, not going to get any easier.
I haven't even played a logical atomizer in my entire life yet. So we're already into the logical atomizer week. So.
Big shout out to Jamo for coming on the show. It was really cool to hear his story, especially some of that stuff about enjoying the practice more than the runs. That's so crazy, but that's what makes him unique. And it's been cool to hear the story about how he came out of the gates good, right? We think that it's just like someone cheating or whatever, but dude puts in the work and is really good at the game. So that's been fun to be a part of, even if it's just a little bit here in the league. So shout outs to him for coming on the show. Don't know who the next episode's going to be with. We do have the JK LOL episodes. I think they're going to do one more for the season wrap up. I know Leo has been like super busy and her birthday's coming up. So if you're in the Discord, shout her out. I think her birthday is next week. They're 6-6. They're fighting for a playoff spot. They're playing against P-Train and GFE and Julo, the Spherefunity, who has locked a playoff spot. They're currently 8-4 as well. So it looks like JKLOL needs to win. Okay, they're tied with the Tile Roomies, who's playing Aga's backup dancers. There's two spots between three teams, Aga's backup dancers, JKLOL, and the Tile Roomies. So JKLOL may make the playoffs, but they gotta get some wins off of GFE, which is tough because that dude loves Enemizer. Zoe Sports Conversations going on in the Discord. So again, make sure you join the Discord. We got links in the description. We had opening day a couple days ago. Mariners are 2-2, I want to say right now. Pitching's tough. Really good pitchers. Can't score any runs. So we'll see how that goes. And then we got the NFL draft coming up. We had a men's NCAA tournament bracket that we had quite a few people fill out. I'm finishing close to last in that because I don't know anything about college basketball, but it's been fun. So yeah, join our Discord, leave a review and a star rating if you can on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Check out the website, 216pod.com. And yeah, who do you want to hear from next? Let me know. That's going to do it. See you next time.